Welcome to the FTN Fantasy Baseball Podcast with your hosts, Matty Wood,
Matthew Davis,
and the Roto-Gut, Vlad Sedler.
What's going on, everybody, and welcome to the FTN Fantasy Baseball Podcast. We are recording episode number 20, middle of May, May 17th, Tuesday evening, and probably listening to this on Wednesday the 18th or beyond. And I'm Vlad Sedler with my co-host and former SoCal brethren, now a Midwest man, Mr. Matthew Matty Wood Davis. What's up, Matt? How's it going?
Doing good. Happy to be back on the podcast. Missed last week, but Rob Silver had some small shoes to fill, and he definitely did that. So, yeah, it was nice of Rob to come onto the podcast and join you as a special guest. That was awesome. And I'm excited to talk some baseball, excited to talk about what we have coming up in a couple of weeks in person, as well as you have a trip planned to come to Chicago this summer for my birthday and for an FTN party. So, yeah, it's going to be really exciting to tackle the outline.
Yeah, so I am going to Chicago in early June, and myself and a bunch of FTN colleagues, many of whom I have never met in person, worked with for a long time, either with the company or in previous companies, we are all going to Chicago. Mr. Kevin Adams, our CEO, who is cousins with the Chicago White Sox pitching coach, Ethan Katz, basically set us up with a suite, and it's going to be pretty sweet. And it's going to be the Dodgers are in town. I think we're going to see a couple of games back to back. Obviously Maddie is not too far from there. So, happens to be his birthday that week. So, we'll be celebrating his birthday, and it'll be just, nice to get out. I mean, it was something I read about, like when you're in your 20s, in your early 20s in college, there are just so many opportunities to, hang out with your friends and party. And then, when people get married and have kids, not to be depressing, but when you're in your early 40s, the number of times that you have these type of occasions are really dwindling in life. And obviously not to be a downer, but this is an opportunity that I really want to take up. Obviously, leaving the family for a couple of days, that's always tough. But it's going to be a blast, man. I can't wait to get out there. I've never been to, to that park. I've actually never been outside of Wrigley for a FanDuel Live final, but have never actually been to a game in Chicago. So I'm really, 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 really looking forward to this.
Yeah. Shout out to the boss at Magic Sports Guy, Kevin Adams, for getting the suite hooked up and the Airbnb. That'll also be, hopefully not videotaped too much. So that's going to be a lot of fun as we all get together and get to clink some glasses, eat a bunch of food, watch some baseball, and get to meet each other. Because I haven't met a lot of people outside of the people that work in California, like you, Brock, and Kevin, et cetera. So it's going to be a lot of fun about that. And how have you been doing with FTN and with FTN Daily and DFS and everything like that? Are you still rolling along?
Yeah, it's how it is. No matter what, just being a human, because we're not machines. Usually, at some point in the middle of the summer, kind of hit a lull, and it's usually in right before the All-Star break, and not a lull with with producing content. I mean, maybe even that to some extent, but what it is the fantasy teams. Like when all the damage happens all at once, when your Eovaldis and get bombed, McGill's hit the IL. A lot of times those things happen all at once, and it's always really nice to get a nice little refresh. And then of course football season's coming up, and usually produce content for that, but without losing track of baseball, of course, because we want to help everyone get there to the finish line. So, but I'm plugging along. Some of my teams are doing really well. I feel like I've had a good grasp on things this season. Still a few things that need to come to fruition. Tyler O'Neill. And other than that, it's good, man. Can't really complain here in middle of May. Too early to get tired.
Yeah, I think it's very important not to feel lethargic, right? I mean, we're only, 6-7 weeks in, and you can look at a team. I have multiple teams I'm looking at are in 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th place. Not great. But then there's those teams that are in first, few of those, and a couple in second and third. And you feel the energy when you're looking at them, when you're clicking on them, when you're making your fab moves. And when you look at these other ones, you feel a little bit of a drag. And it's just really important not to feel that. It's it happens organically, but it's still really, really early. And there's a lot of things that can be corrected. There's a lot of regression that's going to happen. And I think it's important to trust the process and stay the course. There is much more baseball to be had, and I'm still really, really excited to see how this thing unravels.
Yeah, it's a very long season, and we're going to get into it today because we're going to talk about fab and about overspending and some bad habits. But we'll get into that in a little bit. But you know, the point is that there are 20 fab periods still coming up. There's still a good long chunk of the season. Like all the people that were down on Whit Merrifield to begin the year, he's starting to heat up a little bit. Same thing with Yuli Gurriel. People left him for dead, and he's the hottest hitter in baseball. Over the last week or so, not named Taylor Ward, of course. And you know what? Same thing. Like, you know, Marcus Semien, his value cannot be any lower than it is now. Like, unless the guy gets hurt, and I know I've seen the StatCast page, it's not looking pretty. But somehow, some way, these are humans, but baseball players, professionals, somebody that is coming off a 40 home run, 20 plus stolen base season. The dynamics and the environment have changed, but at some point, these guys will figure it out, whatever they need to kind of get it going, moving lower in the lineup, or maybe in the case of O'Neill getting sent down to AAA for a week or two. It's not a good sign for their values going forward, because those specifically are two guys that are fourth rounders for the most part, and it's looking now as if you're probably not going to get that fourth round value. But there will be a time come later this season when these guys are cruising where you'll kind of forget that that strong lull, right? We always remember the early season lulls more so than we do the middle of the season ones.
Always. Definitely. We always remember the beginning of the season versus what's happening in the middle. It's just creature by habit. We are really excited to jump out the gates and think that it's a sprint, and it's just not. So we got to temper expectations. There's still a lot of ball to be had. A lot of ball.
So we're gonna talk about fab a little bit today. Wanted to give you guys a quick update on some of these stud pitchers, guys that were former first, second round picks in previous years that have been coming back. We saw Mike Clevenger already returned, and on Tuesday he had a nice five innings, I think. But real quick, FTN Bets, we have a current promotion for our monthly Diamond membership covering all sports betting. It's just $49.99 a month. Can cancel it at any time. And you got access to all the betting picks for all sports, including baseball, football, golf, NBA and NHL playoffs. We have this awesome prop shop tool that allows you to shop prop bets across all the different books online. For baseball, you're getting our premium MLB strikeout model, our home run model that I'm always checking when I'm looking to stack against pitchers. Betting, of course, we have some guys that are very consistent, really hot there on the site, helping us out, sharp baseball minds. So if you're into betting, want to improve your craft, maybe worth checking us out, ftnbets.com/pricing. So let's start with the pitchers. We got a little update here on the man we've all been waiting for. It's Jacob DeGrom. His latest MRI showed quote-unquote continued healing in scapula. There's still no timetable for his return. He obviously is still going to have to go through like a spring training program of sorts. It's still going to be some time. But when do you think realistically DeGrom will be back? How do you think things are going to shake out for him this year? Is he going to have setbacks? Is he going to come back and cruise the second half? Is he going to be someone of value in 2022?
I think it's going to be a weekly circus. I think each week, like what we're already going to get another MRI, right? We're waiting for that next week, and things are progressing in a positive mindset right now. But I mean, if you have him, you drafted him, great. You just hope for the best. And when he comes back, awesome. You roll him, and hopefully he gives you Jacob DeGrom until he, knock on wood, breaks down again. I mean, that's just been the track record, unfortunately. And I don't have any exposure. A lot of these people that we're going to talk about, I really don't have any exposure to, so I don't want to sound like a Debbie Downer or anything. And I'm definitely not an I told you so person, because I'm all here for, you know, somebody having the talent and upside, et cetera. But if you have DeGrom, just hopefully you get him back and he stays healthy. I don't know what else. I can't project anything like this with him. I mean, and this is a whole new injury from them, what we were coming into the season with too. So I there's just the whole bag of tricks with Jacob DeGrom, and I don't want to put my, you know, foot in my mouth trying to say something that I don't know. So hopefully he comes back by the, you know, early July, if I had to guess, right? Mm-hmm. If you know, I would guess early July. But even then, you just better hope that you – it's all like just burn rubber with him, right? It's every time it's pedal to the metal, look, he's impressing everybody, and then it's just crash and burn. So if it is late June, early July, best case scenario, awesome, and burn rubber until I – until we don't know. It's unfortunate.
Yeah. That little period leading up to the beginning of the season was really rough because we were in Vegas. What was it? 2.5 weeks before the season started and people were taking him in the first round. He was coming off a couple of great spring training outings. And then of course, bam, all of a sudden he's a 15th rounder in main events the following weekend. So it's been just a rough ride for a couple of years now. And obviously we kind of hope for the best. I'll talk about it later. I have a team. It's a main event team where I went pitching 2-3-4 with Walker Buehler, Bieber, who really fell, and Justin Verlander, which is, you know, pretty decent start. I got DeGrom waiting in the wings on that team. So I'm really hoping that he does end up coming back. Lance Lynn, Chicago White Sox. That was unfortunate as well. Early in the season, slight tear in his right knee. He had surgery. And as of now, he's advanced from bullpen sessions to throwing live batting practice. We're expected to see him back in the middle of June. And this rotation heading into the season was one of the most talented in baseball. We've all had high expectations for the White Sox. He'll probably be back by the time we're in Vegas, or so we hope. But that's probably a good estimate of a deadline for him, right? Second week of June, somewhere around there.
Yeah, I think that's realistic, and we see a lot of these pitchers that come back from the knee injury. It's not too much of a problem, obviously, not being a shoulder or elbow, forearm, etc. That's not really my concern with Lance Lynn. It's just age, and then obviously the added health concern, you know, coming back from those things can throw off mechanics, balance, torque, etc. We don't know how pitchers when they return from their injury. And then I had already had some concerns with skills decline when it comes to Lance Lynn due to age, previous, you know, leaving last season with that injury, coming into this season now having it, and then the small pitch mix that I think eventually with age and stuff like that, everything declining, father time, etc. I think that the good times have already come and gone for Lance Lynn, and so I'm not too eager to – I don't have any exposure to him. I don't think I'll be looking to, you know, bet on him when he returns, if anything like that as well. But if you have him, he should be back soon. Hopefully he does give you those innings that you were hoping and expecting for. And maybe he the knee is back to better, and he's somewhat of the old Lance Lynn that we saw for the last couple of years.
Chris Sale, Boston Red Sox, a little bit of a tease, of course. I know that there were some people that were just adamant about, hey, I don't want any part of this. Other people are, you know, where some people were kind of holding on to those glory days, especially since he looked decent down the stretch last season when he did return. He right now is playing catch, so obviously he's got that rib injury, and he's available to return from the 60-day IL in early June. He did have some non-medical issue. We don't know exactly what it was. Supposed to set him back a few weeks. Apparently that's all cleared up. So we're looking at realistically 3-4 weeks for Chris Sale. How do you feel about him in comparison to Lance Lynn?
I would much rather roll the dice on Chris Sale. And Chris Sale's actually available in 13% of RotoWire online championship leagues in NFBC. So I think if we get, you know, any more tweets, any more reports, anything like that, obviously the ads are going to compile to 100% rostership on the NFBC RotoWire online championship, but how much more is it going to cost each and every report that you get that's positive, I think, is the thing that we have to ask ourselves. So if he was available in one of your leagues, I saw that with one of your tweets, you said you had some keep him honest bids on Kirby, and we'll talk about him a little bit later, but your keep him honest bids were pretty honest.
Yeah.
For Sale, for you, I'll ask you, people don't want to, you know, hear about me and my fab thoughts. If Chris Sale's available in your RotoWire online championship league, are you looking to add him this week? And obviously I know that you include these things in your fab article, but jump, you know, skip that. Where are your thoughts on Chris Sale if he was available? Are you optimistic or eager to maybe get ahead of the curve here? it's difficult. You like out?
Yeah, it's always more difficult in the 12-team format because there is just an abundance of goodness sitting there out on the waiver wire, and a lot of us need the help immediately. And in most of our cases, we have at least one stash. I'm sure some of us have, you know, three or four. And, you know, hey, I've been waiting for Adley Rutschman to come up on three teams, burning through bums like Tucker Barnhart, who I hope doesn't listen to this podcast. And, you know, so, man, in 12ers, I just don't know. I don't know if I can do it. I know what he's capable of, but, like, you know, it's, yeah, you want to, you just don't want to burn a spot that you're going to end up having to, you know, drop in a few weeks. Or if he just starts off shitty, like, you know, what are you going to do? It's like, but it's Chris Sale, you know, I got to keep doing it. It's going to be a regression, man. So I don't know. I don't think I'm in right now. I might be tempted, you know, after some good reports, but I don't know. In a 15 teamer, it's a whole different story. I think if you can afford the stash there, like I've been stashing, you know, I have DeGrom on one team, DeGrom stash on one, Jack Flaherty on another. And then I have Ronzi Contreras, who I've been waiting for 3 weeks, on all three of my main event teams. So, I'm already playing with fire a little bit there. So in my scenario, I would not be, you know, going for a Chris Sale.
Yeah. I the first thing that you said about all that, I think highlighted it the most, was how much availability there is in free agency, how much roster depth you have. Are you already holding players that are hurt? Do you have the leniency to do it? I'm looking at the RotoWire online championship that I'm currently in first in, and this team's pretty, it's pretty healthy, to say the least. So maybe that's a spot that you would look to do it. But if there's, you know, the team's struggling and you need volume and you already have a lot of red suitcases or C19 or whatever it is now, then you're probably just going to want to continue to move on with somebody that's healthy and ready to go.
You know, it's a beautiful thing. I don't know if you noticed, if you check out your teams that, you know, obviously we draft multiple teams and in the NFBC, you notice a correlation between the teams that are doing really well and they just have the perfect blend of, like, they don't get the blowups. It's healthy. You got the breakout guys. You picked up Taylor Ward or Josh Naylor at the right time. There's just everything's going right. And then, I mean, I don't know if this is for everyone, but I just noticed that, like, all my damage and knock on wood, I'm hoping I'm not jinxing myself here, but, like, you know, I got Eovaldi on my team that already stinks, you know, that was the one time I decided to go for a Whit Merrifield share and a Chris Sale share, you know, was
it's almost good luck.
Yeah. It's funny how that works. Like all the, you know, that's what you want when you know, you have multiple teams and you kind of have a good idea of who are on your good teams. It's just kind of like it doesn't hurt as much if your team is in 10th place out of 12. You know, of course, if it's your only team, that's a different story, but you know, you're 10th out of 12 and you know, the Eovaldi bombing comes, you're like, it's okay. I'm getting that, you know, that Roto Karma going on the team I need it to go on.
Yeah, that's it's a funny outlook that you say that, but I totally get that too. As I scroll through our CVS receipts of NFBC teams, it's basically how those look when you start scrolling down all your teams and some of those teams just click, right? My best team is that main event team. I'm pairing with Zach Betancourt as a main event team. And everything just seems to be going right health-wise with the pitching, knock on wood. And then we had one player that was hurt. It was Yan Moncada, and now he's back. So life's good there, but I mean, it can get rough quickly. So, you know, don't be thinking that we're all sipping Mai Tais just yet. Long way to go.
Exactly. Speaking of long way to go, hopefully not too much longer. Jack Flaherty dealing with a shoulder issue. He was a clear fade for our friend of the pod, Scott Jenstad. Him and I discussed him much, you know, a lot about him. I do have a few shares and I do have him on a main event team. At that point, he was really cheap. I forgot it was like 21st round or something like that. But earlier when he was healthy and in draft season, I just kept thinking to the, you know, the team that he's on, you know, the ballpark, the division, how, you know, back in the days of his rookie season or his breakout season, how, you know, obviously Walker Buehler was considered a more prominent prospect, but those two both had, you know, pretty sort of mirrored breakout seasons. And I still think Jack Flaherty is a really quality pitcher. I would just like him to get some good luck in the health department, but he's throwing his second bullpen session either today or Wednesday. 30 pitches in that first session, it went well. He might be throwing to live batters in about a week. So we're looking at kind of the similar timeline here with Lance Lynn and Chris Sale. How do you feel about Mr. Flaherty?
Again, another pitcher that I don't have any exposure to this year. He was actually, I think, the pitcher when we were going down our pitching tiers and discussing the starting pitcher position in the offseason, ramping up for draft season. I think he was the person that gave me that Riddler idea of talking about, you know, Jim Carrey in the movie Batman. So all the question marks, and I still have those with him. So for me, it's just kind of the same. But again, if he does come back, hopefully he comes back and he proves me wrong and he's able to show who he was like he was in 2019, et cetera. So, yeah, I don't have any exposure, but now that I live in Illinois, I'm a betting man. Shout out to me for betting on Nate Eovaldi today after allowing five home runs. So I know what I'm doing. I think, you know, I'll look at him maybe from a DFS perspective and stuff like that. So that's where I'm at when it's a guy that I don't have any exposure to when we're talking season long, especially with somebody that has that high upside and, you know, we're enamored by them, but it's maybe health right now in the season long game. You know, there's other outlets as well, but if you're a season long fantasy player and you have him, I'm sure you're getting excited to see what he's going to be able to give you. And hopefully he can stay healthy when he does return, because that's looking like he should be returning actually in mid-June. I think that should be by then should be pretty safe.
One more guy in that
early, like mid-June, late, right? Like that should be. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. One more guy to add, throw into that boat. Never a first or second round fantasy pick like the others, but someone that was off to a very promising start. So much so that in RotoWire online 12ers, I overspent for him in two places for, I think, about between 200 and 250. And this is right after spending for Josh Lowe. So, you know, we're all human. Please forgive me. But Andrew Heaney did not pitch a single inning for me because he was essentially was shut down right after that. And then, of course, can only hold him for so long. Ended up dropping him on both those teams. So that really hurt. Just a big waste of 25% of the fab. But he's looking to be throwing bullpen sessions this week. He's traveling with the team. Dodgers have been extremely careful with him. They know how important it is to have him for the second half of the season. I'd say he's probably around 3 weeks or so away as well, barring any setbacks.
Yeah, I like him, and I'm actually interested if he's available out of all of these guys. Don't call me a homer if you want, whatever. He's, like you said, the Dodgers are going to be cautious with him, but we have seen some legit upside here. Swinging strike rate, 20.5%. CSW was at 37.8% before the injury, at 13.9.4%. K per nine, I know that's not sexy. So maybe a 40% strikeout rate with a 7.5% walk rate equals a 32.5% K minus walk rate. On the Dodgers, 2.05 xERA. The FIP was right in line with xFIP was right in line with that, 2.09. Everything was good to go. They're going to be cautious, but that's a good thing. I think that that's what we want to see, especially with somebody like Andrew Heaney that has had previous injury history. So when he does come back, hopefully he's able to stay healthy, just like all the other guys we've talked about. We don't know how long these guys are going to go. We don't know how much nipples on that tire. We just don't know. Mm-hmm. All these guys have had injuries. They're all yo-yos. They're up and down. They're up and down. But what we saw from Heaney was, I mean, damn, that was pretty good. And from all these other guys outside of excluding Jacob DeGrom, we really haven't seen that recently, at least this season. So, I'm really intrigued with him, especially because Jack Flaherty, Jacob DeGrom, those guys, they're not available in RotoWire online championships or your 12-team leagues. Andrew Heaney's available in 27% of those. So I think that he has the most relevancy out of this entire bucket that we've discussed.
One more guy is Anthony Desclafani. You can go ahead and drop him. He's shifting to the 60-day IL. Bad news for him. I was actually not on the disco train whatsoever until the last week of the season. I just had this feeling. I'm like, man, I don't know. I think there's something that I really like here. Kind of moved him up my board. Didn't end up getting him anywhere because that's when all the pitching got pushed up. Instead, I was going for the Logan Gilbert, Sonny Gray's of the world, and even he was pushed up to like I think 10th, 11th round in some places. So I did not end up with any of him. But that's good news for Jacob Junis. So he'll be in the lineup for a little bit, or in that rotation for a little bit. So he is, I think, pretty widely available in 12-team leagues. And just looking ahead to his schedule, I'm going to see what San Francisco has on their plate coming up here. So he's going to get the Padres on the weekend, and then next weekend, not the prettiest start. It's going to be at Cincinnati over the weekend.
Yeah, he's only 6% rostered in the NFBC Online Championship. I'm assuming that number is a little bit higher in the main event. Let me check real quick just so we can give that number out to the people here. For Jacob Junis in the main event, 92%. Okay, so wow. I'm actually higher than much higher than I thought. So yeah, he's going to stick around a little bit longer. I fell into one disco trap, and that was in the Vegas $1,500 Online Championship, the auction there. The build was just getting out of control with heavy pitching, and I was taking those like $3 and $4 darts, which you never really want to be playing that game in an auction, because you're pretty much getting those pitchers that throw 90 poo. And that's what I got there. And, yeah, so cut bait with him if you have him in any league format, I would say. So, yeah, it's unfortunate. He's the rare case. We're going to exclude your boy Tyler Beede in this one, but Anthony DeSclafani is the current rare case of a San Francisco Giants starting pitcher that has kind of faltered.
Yep. So I wanted to talk to you about a little bit about how Fab went for you this weekend. It was obviously a big weekend with your. Well, let me ask you that first. Did you end up with any George Kirby shares, any Alec Thomas, and what did you end up bidding on them?
So zero on Kirby. He was far too expensive in every single one of my leagues, even in the 12-team RotoWire online championships where things can get a little bit weird. He went for 377, 294, and et cetera. It was all within that fine range there. And then I'm pulling up the one league that I did get Alec Thomas. I got him for 45, and this is where it becomes really weird, because I don't have the data up in front of me. Do you know what the high was in the OC for Thomas? Or did you see anything in the range? I know it was triple digits. I just don't know how high it was, but I got him for 45 either way. And why I'm saying that's the runner up was only $5. And in our outline at some point, and we've kind of discussed it along the way, it's just kind of been the theme here is how weird those 12 teams are. And I know Scott Jensen talks about it sometimes. It's really hard, you know. Reed Detmers was available in this league, and I got him for 87. The runner-up was 31, and a different online championship league, Reed Detmers could have went for 458, and Alec Thomas could have went for like 187, right? So it's so hard to give, and I don't know how you, you know, it takes a lot of huevos marbles to be able to do that for the 12 team, those fab articles that you do at FTN Fantasy, because it's so difficult to gauge each and every league how many people are actually paying attention, feeling like they're still in it, and are being hungry each and every week and up to date with what's going on. And then some leagues just sizzle out really quickly, and then there's other leagues that are just overly aggressive all year long up until the end. So it's really weird, but I do feel good about an $87 Reed Detmers and a $45 Alec Thomas. But that's my only Alec Thomas piece. But it is in a league that I'm currently in first place with.
So I ended up with Alec Thomas in two of my three main events. One of them, he was drafted and dropped. My live Vegas main, he went for 134 the previous week. So this weekend he was available in two leagues. I got him in both. So in the article I put about, you know, 150 to 225 was the range. And I ended up hitting them both pretty nicely. One was I got him for 194 with a backup of 183. And I had some money to spend in that league. That's my really good team. That's top 25 overall. My other one, I got him for 158 with a backup of 145. So it's one of those things where it looks nice on paper. And then you automatically have that, you know, when you look at your remaining budget for the season and you consider how long the season is, you're like, you start second guessing yourself. You're like, did I really want that? You know, I mean, like, when I look at my teams, for example, I'm thinking, okay, who am I going to have to sit this weekend to get Alec Thomas in my lineup? And in the case where this, you know, this first half period, he gets the Dodgers, which is already a tough matchup. Two of them are lefties. I'm thinking, he's probably not going to hit high in the lineup. He's already hitting eighth or ninth. He hasn't earned that yet. Might he even sit for this first half week? Do I have to bench the guy that I just spent 150 plus on? And then who am I benching? Oh, guess what? I benched Anthony Santander against the Yankees. He hit two home runs in his first game. So it's one of those things where, you know, you just never know. I think your bid in the 12 teamer was perfect, because if you really think about it, like, unless you think he's going to be flat out of this world, like amazing, why would you really spend that much more than that him in a 12 teamer, considering like if he stinks or if he stays near the bottom of the lineup, like we're pretty sure he's going to stick with the team. But like, you know, there are so many outfielders out there, so many guys like that where, you know, what are you really spending $100 for a fringe borderline outfielder? Like even people that are telling me, oh, but you know, you're going to get 10 and 10, you know, for that. And that's worth like 87. Like, no, I want more than that, dude. I want more than 10 from somebody that I'm spending $100+ on. I want like the next, you know, Taylor fucking Ward, man. Basically.
All right. That's right. That's right, baby. He hit another home run today too, didn't he?
Yeah. He's amazing.
Al Thomas actually hit a home run today too the doubleheader. So shout out to him. And I actually added him $45. That was tempered a little bit because this team does have Luis Robert. It's got Ronald Acuna Jr., Giancarlo Stanton. You know, that's how we're doing things over here. That's the team that I screenshot. Remember, I sent it to you before the season started. Like, look at this, was my favorite OC. I was like, no.
Before the season.
Yeah. 2 weeks before. Yeah. Before the season. Yeah. I was like, look at this. You're like, yeah, that is pretty sick. Well, there it is.
You know, you just know sometimes. Sometimes you just have like a really good feel. I drafted 12 draft champions, the 15 team draft and holds. And one of them was the $1,000 one. And, you know, Phil Dussault, Tyler Young, all these guys are in this thing. And for some reason, they just had their guys. Everyone had their guys that they had to get. And I just kept getting like what I felt were gifts, like players that I loved. So I came out of it. I'm like, man, I love this freaking team. Like, this is my favorite DC. And it's been in first place all year. It's good. Like, this is a league I really want to win. I want to beat these guys. Like, you know, I've been holding it down. But it's a long grind. That's the worst thing, is if you're in first for like 4 months and then all of a sudden you start, you know, people start chipping away. You always know there's somebody like a Lindy who was like, or Casey Cha. Thank God Casey Cha was in this thing, because he's the king of, you know, he's sitting in eighth. He's laying back in the cut all season. And all of a sudden you're like, oh shit, he's fourth. Oh crap, he's got 100 points. Oh no, I'm losing.
That's a long season. Shout out to Tyler. Tyler Young is currently in first place in the NFBC main event overall, or at least he was going into Monday or the beginning of the week.
Yeah.
And then earlier when you mentioned Anthony Santander, it kind of made me laugh a little bit, because I got a message from Phil Dussault, because he's, you know, he loves him. I love him. And so he messaged me about
Santander.
Both of us are. And so he messaged me about him. We got a little excited. It made me think of us in the fantasy community. And I know that you and Jenstad and Rob Silver have your text chain, you call it, but even other friends like Zach Betancourt and I, there's certain fantasy or baseball players and fantasy players at, like, you and a friend correlate to one player specifically. And then when something good happens with that person, that's like your person to go to celebrate. So like,
yes,
Yon Moncada and Anthony Santander would be like my Phil Dussault. Like, you know, that's where we go to when something good happens there. It made me laugh, because there's different players and different people in the community that, you know, we bounce off of each other for different baseball players. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Phil's my Margot guy and Baltimore pitchers. Anything good happens there, I'm like, what up? By the way, sneaky feeling, I'm just kind of throwing this out there, and I hate to do this to my competition or for my competition in main events, but hey, transparency, baby. Keegan Aiken, that guy is going to get himself into the rotation, and I hope he doesn't start to stink as soon as he does. But there's some magic brewing in that park. Phil and Tyler and those guys were very prescient on this, the ballpark. Maybe things will play a little bit differently in the summertime against those teams, like when Toronto really heats up and Boston heats up. Like, maybe these guys will get into some trouble. But you know, Bruce Zimmerman's been fantastic. Like, there's been a lot of good stuff there, but Keegan Aiken is moving, increasing his pitch counts. He's been actually really good. He's actually a pretty solid prospect. I've got him in some draft champions. I'd like to see him in the rotation at some point. But they have a good problem, I guess, because Kyle Bradish is there, a solid prospect. Occasionally, eventually Grayson Rodriguez will join. So, There's some good things brewing, but Keegan Aiken, somebody I was gonna, I'm going to keep an eye on here for a bit.
Yeah, I think if you're a fan of the Baltimore Orioles, shout out to our buddy Alex Fast, who now lives in Los Angeles. I think there's some good things on the horizon there. I do.
What about George Kirby? This is an interesting one because I have these internal struggles, and then I try to put things on paper, both in the article. I try to really put it out there how I feel or think about things. And there was Matt Brash. There's always going to be somebody that is just so enticing, and you don't even really think twice if the market is just saying, oh, he's going to be X amount of dollars. If I want to get in on him, that's what I have to pay. It's almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy. It's like, you just know you're going to be blowing a good chunk of your money for the entire season on one guy. And I think some of the things we don't think about are like, what if he gets hurt? What if he actually turns into like Matt Brash and starts sucking and gets demoted? What if he's like on pitch count? Like so many things we think about. And then, that's why it's tough for me to be spending big dollars on pitchers. And that's why coming out of this fab, I'm wondering why, I was kind of rushing and trying to get all my bids in and running around with the family. But I look back, I'm like, okay, I have an OC team, top 10 overall in the Roto Online Championship. It's got great pitching and I got greedy. I'm like, I've got, 650 left. I'm like, let me throw 223 on Kirby and just see what happens. To me, that was a keep him honest bid. I got him. Backup was 189. But then I'm like, okay. And then as soon as I got him, I'm about to set lineups. I'm like, him at Boston and I forgot it was some other stud. I'm like, wait, do I really have to sit my stud because I just paid, a quarter of my budget on him? And so, and then you start believing, you're like, okay, now he has to be the truth. There's so much in our psyche that we like convince ourselves on things, like things have to be a certain way. And then, you know where I'm going with this, right?
Yeah, your keep them honest bids are like eggplant emojis for small bid. Then when it comes to those young pitchers coming up that they're, flavor of the week or whatever you want to deem it, I never win them. For a big example, I know this isn't going to sound fun or sexy. I'll use two pitchers, actually, Kyle Hendricks and Tyler Anderson. Let's say for simple math, Kirby goes for three times those guys in fab, which is about what he went for when I'm getting Kyle Hendricks for $70, maybe even four times as much in fab or five times as much. I'd much rather have Kyle Hendricks or Tyler Anderson, who are both in a rotation. We know what we're getting and they're going to continue to go every 5 days. That's just me, especially when the landscape comes to the summer months and injuries are going to occur more and more and more. There's going to be more starting pitchers that are going to go on the IL. There's going to be more teams trying to stream. There's going to be more teams / fantasy managers trying to play the I need two steps now. And what's going to happen is ratios are going to explode and they are going to go higher and higher and higher and higher. And I don't want any part of trying to figure out, well, what happens if my, flavor of the week is now sucking or in AAA or whatever, and I'm looking at middle relievers or trying to stream some of these other starting pitchers based off schedule or matchup or whatever, because you don't have anything left at your 7, 8, 9. And I think that when you're blowing fab and there's also that range of outcomes with a Kirby or a Brash, etc., I can't do it. It's just too much volatility for me. I would much rather just spend $50 to $70 on a Tyler Anderson or a Kyle Hendricks and ride them all damn year, sit them on the bench when I don't want to use them, and then stream them or start them when I feel comfortable doing so, etc. And that has been my MO since playing fantasy baseball, and I will continue doing that. So that's where I stand on that.
So
pretty adamant on that too.
Yeah. And that makes a lot of sense. And I'm always
who was real quick. Who was the last pitcher that came up in fab for $300+ as a starting pitcher and crushed all year?
I don't remember. I don't know.
I couldn't even recall. Like there's like for hitters. Sure. Ronald Acuna, Juan Soto. We can go on and on and on and on and on for hitters. Who was the pitcher that went 160+ innings and gave you just dazzling numbers all year? Yeah, it's so rare for a young starting pitcher to just come in and do that. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't happen.
Yeah. And so what that gets me thinking is like, so I go into every season and I have proof, like text messages from the text chain, where at the end of the season, I always tell the guys, that's it. This is the last time I'm going to, you know, be so loose and go after the Cody Bellinger, Tyler O'Neill type guys. But then for whatever reason, man, they always draw me in. And then I'm always like, you know, with Kirby, this team didn't really need him. And then I spend this money. It's almost like, you know, when you're delaying the homework that you have due in college, and then you pull the all nighter to like kind of get it done. And so what I'm doing is I'm almost like playing against myself, where I'm like, okay, I'm going to leave myself with such little money towards the end and force myself to just grind out, you know, the players I want for less. If only I could have more discipline, it would be so much better for me. It's like this gambler's mentality of, you know, and so this is something that I need to kind of like harness, because right now I'm looking
at procrastination bid.
Dude, seriously. Like I'm looking at really good players in my league, in my main event. Like, okay, let me tell you about this team real quick. Okay. So I have a main event. It's like whatever, 25th overall, first place in the league. And it's a killer. Okay. It started off with the 15 pick, 15-16. I went Mookie Bueller. Okay. Like a couple of Dodgers. Then I did Verlander Bieber at the turn. It was like the max pick on Bieber. So I got him at 45. And then I didn't really care for the hitting options there. Judge was gone. I'm like, all right, let's grab Verlander and then let's focus on hitting. After that, I got Springer, Bregman, and Abreu, which I'm pretty happy with. You know, I got a couple of solid closers. I got Kimbrel, Gallegos. I got Margot late. I got, you know, Colton Wong for some stolen bases. So it's a good team. Currently about 95 in points. Oh, it has DeGrom too, waiting in the wings. DeGrom, Contreras, Ronzi Contreras. That's a good team. But how did I spend? I have 386 left on this team. How did I spend, you know, almost like $600? I don't even know on what. Let me tell you how, okay? And, you know, just keep kind of keeping supposed Fab Whisperer check, okay? Week two, had a gut on Cooper Hummel. Like, I'm going to get him before everybody. And a smart person would have been like, you know, $7-$8, whatever. That's like a high bid. What do? I spent 30. I'm like, you know, like I have to get him. I got to make sure to get him. I'm really feeling him. No backup bid. Okay, cool. All right, I got Cooper Hummel 2 weeks later, dropped. He's not, you know, he's not really playing every day. The following week, week three, Ronzi Contreras, I got him 60 to 39. That's fine. I'm still waiting on him. And then I got Alec Baum on my Taylor Ward bid. So I did not get Ward. He went for like 60 something. I bid like 50. Or high 40s, but I got Alec Baum 20 to 19. So that's cool. That's a win. Week four, I have Liam Hendricks, and I'm like, I got to get those saves. Kendall Graveman, I'm going to throw 18 on him. But wait, other people are going to be in on him too. I'm going to go 49. So I got him 49 to 22. I got Abraham Toro 26 to 9. I wanted to pick him up before a hot streak, very streaky guy. I have now since dropped him. Then week five, Odorizzi, Jake Odorizzi, phenomenal. I don't think he gave up a run in the four starts that I had him for. Now he's hitting the IL, got him 38 to 19. Okay, that's cool. So I'm in a good place. The team is in a good place. Like what am I doing? Why do I have to keep getting the next guy? Like, it's like, you know, what am I going to have to go show it? Am I drafting this team to like, to post screenshots on Twitter? What the hell am I doing? Well, let me tell you, Spencer Strider, week six, he's going to be in the rotation. I got to have him. You know, I know it's going to be like high 90s, maybe 120, but I have to have him. So I went a little over 142. Backup was 93. So there you go. Got Strider on the team. He's now not going to be in the rotation, and I don't need like a glorified middle reliever for all that money. Then I got Bryson Stott. Again, I had him earlier. I drafted him, dropped him 42 to 7, another overbid. Now this past week, got Yan Gomes, nice start to the week, $3. But guess what? I dropped Mitch Garver, and then the Garver news that he's going to be back soon came right out right after that. Got Jace Peterson for a few bucks, and then I won that Alec Thomas bid. So there you go. It's a good team, but I would love to have $600, you know, as opposed to
what's
400.
What's your remaining fab again? 400, right? Okay. So the moral of the story is stay out of my pot stash, for one, and for two, you can fuck up fab and still be successful.
Yeah, we do it every year. I mean, you're supposed to average $37 a week. How does that work? I understand everyone spends less in the last couple of months, but like if I'm spending $200 a week, that doesn't make any sense. What am I doing?
Well, the weeks that you're spending so much lower than that, though, and there are a lot of weeks where you do just sit back. If I quickly go to fab results, you know, spending 17 in a week, spending 9 in a week, spending 12 in a week, spending 18 in a week. Those types of weeks, allow that kind of flexibility in the long run. And then when you do know, obviously, when that number shrinks real tiny, come mm-hmm. to September, those, it's just dollar days, baby. And that's what creates those massive, massive bids. It's just dollar days. And then the tiny, tiny, either my butthole's already too tight and I'm puckered up mm-hmm. and I don't want anything to do with fab and I'm just insecure, or, blah, too busy, whatever. And then, you know, there's some weeks that people get aggressive. I mean, look at it. That's kind of like an MO for Eric Heberle. Let's go hard. Let's go hard. Let's go hard. And then just kind of chill out. Everyone has different ways to attack this beast that we call fab, that we love and hate and stare at far too much. But
there's a common denominator among some of the Hall of Famers and all the good players. Like, I played against them in their leagues, and I'm talking about specifically mm-hmm. like Dave Potts, Steve Jupinka, Scott Jensen, pretty good player. Like, these guys aren't usually spending $200-$300 on players. They'll take their shots here and there, but they're grinding out, you know, those guys for a lot less money. Like, for example, I'm looking at the guys who have been most helpful in my three main events, not to me, but to just anyone in the league. It's not the guys that people have been spending $100+ for. So in addition to Taylor Ward, who on average in those leagues went from 50 to 65, it was a $30 Eric Hosmer. It was a $13 Yadiel Hernandez, a $14 Josh Naylor, a $7 Bruce Zimmerman, a $3 Ben Gamel. These are the guys that have been really helping teams and really can be on their teams and helpful for the course of the season. Where was the money wasted? And this happens to us every single year. It's the closer specs. Okay. Let me just throw out you and then I'll give you the floor. Check out who in my three main events, these guys that have been spent, how much money have been spent on these guys. Diego Castillo, 180. Ryan Helsley, 174. Andres Munoz, 115. Tony Santillan, 60. Tyler Duffy, 77. Josh Stomont, 80. Kendall Graveman, 55. How much money is spent there? How many saves do we have out of that? And why do we continue to chase these guys?
It's a really terrifying game to play when you walk that plank. The closer plank is it's a game that I really just don't like to try and play with. I was in every single league I have, I drafted a closer in the first five rounds, mm-hmm. at least one. And most of them have Tanner Rainey. If you saw my screenshot, even though he only has three saves on the year, it's not like, you know, gloating about something very special there or anything, but
they either lose or they win by 10. So
that was okay. Kind of my like thing though, was like, get a Tanner Rainey, get a Rowan Wick, get a whoever. But make sure you get Edwin Diaz, Emmanuel Clase, Raisel Iglesias, Josh Hader, etc. Mm-hmm. to pair with one of those guys. I wasn't fucking around with the, I'm going to go David Bednar and then, you know, mm-hmm. even Corey Knebel, he's still the closer, but man, that shaky. Dude is getting rocked.
Yeah, it's wild. And obviously all those studs, I mean, other than the unfortunate Jordan Romano news and, obviously he's been an absolute ace. Liam Hendricks had a little bit of hiccup, but he'll be just fine. Taylor Rogers has been outstanding. Josh Hader, obviously the man. So there really is something to be said, and we're going to be probably talking about it again and trying to beat it into people's heads. Like, people aren't crazy or stupid for spending up early on closer, because if you're playing Roto and you're in an NFBC competition with the overall component, these saves are important. And, you know, but there has to be some adjustment, I think, for how we strategize and how we go after some of these guys, especially with like when we kind of almost know what's going on in certain bullpens. Like, why are we spending $100+ on any Seattle guy if they themselves don't even want like one guy in the job, right? I mean, it's always going to be a mix between, you know, Paul Sewell and Diego Castillo and Munoz and Steckenrider and whomever else comes up. Like, that's just kind of how that team is rolling for now, right? I mean, like, why ever spend, you know, just because a guy has like, for example, Diego Castillo just had a save. He might get another one. If he gets one over the weekend, guess what? You know, he's available in say 30% of leagues. Someone else is going to spend $100+ on him. And then the next save opportunity will go to like Paul Sewell or something. So
the Seattle bullpen is going to be a box of chocolates the entire year.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what happens. Doesn't matter who blows the next save. Doesn't matter if one of them gets hurt. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter mm-hmm. who succeeds in the next opportunity. Just doesn't matter.
And it's been kind of a chill closer market also the last couple of weeks. Yep. I feel like things are kind of quiet now. It really would take like an injury or something like that. I mean, you know, not everyone's self-destructing like Mark Melancon is, but we're not seeing that as much this season where guys' jobs are just like really like hanging in, you know, hanging by a thread. So I know a lot of people are really rooting for a lot of people that don't have Aroldis Chapman want to just see him out of that role. It's really funny. There are like so many, you know, Clay homies out there. It's funny. Clay Holmes homies.
Yeah. I don't know. I think the leash is going to be pretty long, but there are some underlying metrics that are very concerning. And the Yankees are pitching really good. They're pitching the best in all baseball. So that leash will get shorter if they continue to contend and the race gets tighter and the season gets smaller and the amount of games gets smaller. He better get his shit together or he won't be in that position, you know, come the stretch. And that's frightening if you got him.
So I think my biggest takeaway, other than like, thank you for the therapy session, everyone, I just kind of had to get it out there. But like, you know, just one of those things, like when you know, you're just like not doing some, you know, you just shouldn't be, but you just do it anyways. And that's called discipline, right? And if you don't do it, if you can kind of restrict yourself, hey, that's a good thing. So, you know, just hold back on those type of things. But my big takeaway is those conditional bids and the priority order that you set them in. I think it's so important. For example, like, you know, of course, yes, Kirby was at the top of everybody's bid list, but like, I really, for the second week in a row, I really wanted to get Matt Manning. It was just something, I just felt like he was kind of under the radar as far as like, you know, in his rehab. And I think that he'll be pretty decent when he gets back. If he stays healthy, he's going to be in the rotation. And I could have had him for cheap 2 weeks in a row, but I just had him I just had my bids higher above him where I never had a chance for myself to get him. And I think that's something that I want to try to do going forward is, you know, if I don't really want the guy that everyone else wants and I don't want to compete for him, let me make my, you know, keep him on his bid without the eight, eggplant emojis or whatever. And just, you know, keep it light. If I happen to get them, great. I got a great deal on them, but chances are then I'll get my, you know, my other guy for cheap. So I'm going to try to, you know, have a little bit more discipline within my bids going forward, but I am a really big proponent on setting those priority bids behind them in a certain order, not just kind of haphazard and just throwing guys, but like really thinking about them, like moving my, you know, for my pitcher drop, making sure that I really want the guy number three over number four. And then you know, how much I think they both go for and how that all works out. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's so important setting those priority bids behind.
Yeah, it is. And each one influences each other too. And starting at the top too. So seeing if you have that high price Kirby bid and then looking down to your next person. So for me, when I added Kyle Hendricks this week in the Vegas main event for $77, the runner-up bid was only $41, but I was happy with that when I see George Kirby going for $257. But I knowing that I like Kyle Hendricks just 1v1, I know that sounds really stupid. I just think that there's more security and less volatility is long story short. For me, I don't need to necessarily be like, I obviously know he's not going to cost that much, but I don't, because I like Kyle Hendricks more than the guy that's going to cost more, I can't have that impact what I think that the player that I like is going to cost in that market. Because it's a completely different price tag. It's a completely different economy. So, you know, just looking at numbers, and then when you start to look down your tier or your raindrop or whatever the hell you want to call it, not letting, you know, one impact the other, I think is kind of important there.
Yeah, and then they're also like the difficult kind of choices within the conditional. So behind my Kirby, which I in my main event, which I pretty much knew I wasn't going to get, Kyle Bradish was available, and it's an interesting case study because he was coming off the 11 strikeout game against St. Louis of all teams, the team that literally doesn't strike out, an absolutely crushing a game, and had he had a different two step on paper, that first game was against the Yankees. I think he probably would have gone for a lot more, but I set my conditional there where it was like, I don't know if I really want him, but I'm going to bid 45. and for my live main Vegas team. And I got him. Backup was 39. Great. It looks great when you send the screenshot. But like, you know, I'm thinking about where that's all coming from. That pitcher slot was, what was it? It was it was me dropping Zach Plesac, who I feel like I shouldn't have picked up in the first place, dude. Who I also overbid on just based on name value. I was like, oh, he's worth 82. And I won him 82-80. But guess what? He shadowed my lineup, you know, for weeks. And then I didn't play him for a two step. Thank God. Cause he did some more shitting. And then I'm like, okay, hey, let me get someone else to poop. Kyle Bradish. Let's go.
No, he's been fine. I mean, come on. Bradish has been, he's been fine. I mean, yeah, the four runs, then the whip and everything in the last outing, the beginning of this week's two step, not good. But last outing, if you bought him so we cut Plesac, Zach and I on May 8th for Kyle Bradish for $29 uncontested in the main event that's currently in like top 25 overall or whatever. Then last week in our other main event, we added him for $60 and the runner up was 23. The funny thing is in the 4-3 where we're doing really good, we didn't roll him. And then when we need a little bit more upside there, you know, we started him in the other league. So, we avoided the ratio disaster in the league that we're doing good in, but we were a little bit desperate in the other one, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense. Make total sense.
I've got some Bradish though.
Yeah. I like it. I don't know. I just like him because his name rhymes with Bradish. Is that weird?
No. A little bit, but no, he's got good stuff, man. I mean, and not the whole schedule is not going to be, you know, how it shook out with a hot Yankees team right now. So I think he's all right. I think if you didn't overspend, I mean, I saw some Bradish bids that were a little horseradish. So Jeff Erickson attempt there.
I love it. Yeah. I mean, so yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, I don't know, I think the overarching lesson here is self-discipline, right? Like if I try to teach it, you know, at least, you know, just because I'm being, transparent doesn't mean that I can't harness myself in, you know what I mean? So like, I like your approach and if, you know, I mean, it's $37 a week that we get to spend per week. If you're spending, you know, 180 here, I mean, granted, it's like a, you know, it's a slope, right? The last few weeks, you don't really need to spend that much. You can get away with $100 for the last one, but I like to have an advantage too in bidding. If I really need wins, strikeouts, in that last month, I want to be able to get who I want. And if somebody has more money than me and they're competitive, they're going to end up basically, you know, outbidding me and getting those guys. So I want to kind of stay competitive throughout the entire season.
Yep. I like it.
All right. Anything else on your mind and on the plate?
Yeah. Yeah. If you haven't already, subscribe, rate, review, tell us how we're doing. If there's anything that you would like for us to do differently, if there's anything in particular that you want us to talk about. We've also talked about maybe doing some live shows so we can have some interaction over on Twitter or in a chat or something like that. So if you guys are interested in Vlad and I doing something like that, it's a little bit more interactive every once in a while. Let us know if you're interested in that as well. You can follow myself on Twitter @_MattyWood_. You can follow Vlad on Twitter @RotoGut. But you can find both of our content and all of our content available at ftnfantasy.com. I cannot fucking wait for you to get to Chicago. This is going to be so much fun for all of us to hang out. It's going to be a blast.
I can't wait, man. I'm sure the food menu and all that stuff is probably be planned out, but I'm just going to be, you know, with whatever limited meals have, I think I'm going to have to double up and kind of like just eat more than I usually would just to get in, you know, whatever pizza, hot dog, or, you know, special treat that I need to have that I can't have anywhere else.
You will have no problem gaining weight while you're in Chicago. I promise you that.
Totally fine with it. Thank you, everybody. For Matty Wood, Matthew Davis, this is Vlad Sedler. This is the FTN Fantasy Baseball Podcast, and we'll talk to you next week.
Peace.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the FTN Fantasy Baseball Podcast with Matthew Davis and Vlad Sedler. Make sure to follow your host on Twitter @_MattyWood_ and @RotoGut. Hit that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.